Thank you, Pastor Christian, for giving me this opportunity to share. I praise God for this. It's been almost 25 years, just over 25 years since I have come to know the Lord. And I just want to share my testimony today. I'm standing here not like a preacher or a teacher, and I can spare those to Constantine, Pastor Christian, and Pastor John for those roles. I'm just here as a child of God to share my testimony with you folks. I started 25 years ago through someone at my work, impacted my life. And through those 25 years, I've come across so many people who have impacted my life in many ways, including Pastor John, Pastor Christine, and folks in this body as well. Today, I just want to share what I learned from you folks and how I applied that in my life to build my walk with the Lord. So that's the premise that I'm going to talk to you about today. And typically, I have segmented my time, my typical day, like four segments kind of in a day that I have chosen to how I relate myself, my journey with God. And those are kind of like at the cross, at the altar, at the well, and at the wings, under the shadow of his wings. So that's kind of how I have set my framework. It's not a formula, but it's something that helps me and guides me with my walk with God every day. So when I wake up in the morning, I like to hear the sound of a page being turned. So I'm 54 today, and I really see myself every morning when I wake up, the Lord is turning a new page of the book that we co-author. He holds the pen, but we co-author that day. So the blank page opens up, that makes me happy so that I'm alive, I can see the next page being turned. And I'm not a book reader, I don't like reading books, I envy those who read books. The book that I've read the most in my life is the Bible. And so I'm happy that now I'm kind of co-authoring my book with God, that he holds my life in his hands. I tell my son more often, like, you know, the story about every day the page turns, hey, this is what's happening, and today I'm excited to see what the plot is going to be, how it's going to heighten the expectation of the day, because when people read books, like, there's such an excitement. So when I get up in the morning, that I find that even a spoken word, like just one word of encouragement we give to someone, can become that twist in your day, in your journey in life as well. So this happened 27 years ago when this person at my work, all she said was, God bless you. And every time I give her something, a pen or a paper or a pencil or a water, God bless you. That's all she did. But that made a big change in my life. Today I'm standing and testifying today. It's because of that difference. Someone said that one. And I can also relate to that when Joanne, I think when she was probably a teenager, was one of the first message I heard from her was, identify yourself. How to identify yourself in Christ. That made a big difference and gave me a kind of a boldness to step out for the first time how I could make a difference at my workplace. Just with that little thing. I'll tell you that story as I just build up my testimony here, how that made a difference. So the first part of my day in the morning is at the cross. At the cross, my first thing is to identify myself. And of course, I used some of the tips that Johanna had given at that point, so that kind of built into my kind of regime of my journey with Christ. And to reinforce myself that I'm a child of God. Romans, Paul talks in Romans 8:14 to 17 that I, who we are in Christ, and that we are led by the Spirit of God and we are the children of God. And the second thing for me at the cross is my reference point. My reference point is, at the cross is where my shame was stripped away. Literally, my shame was stripped away. And the second significance of that cross is my first love. My shame was stripped away, and I discovered my very first love. And I don't want to lose that first love, the fire that I had, and the joy, the pleasure I had, the first love, and such a liberation and freedom I had. So I want to reinforce that every day as a reference point for my life. So that's the beginning of at the cross. So when I wake up in the morning, I'm grateful and thankful for another day of life that I can go to the cross and have that reference and identity. And the second part is at the altar. Altar to me, I think there's many significance, I guess, to altar when we read throughout the Bible. And for me, it's a place where I remember a unique encounter with God. And for me, the day that I knew the Lord was that unique encounter that I had with God. So I built that altar in my heart. So I go to that altar every day and I rest with God. I see God. I connect with God. I fellowship with God. I talk to God. I lay down my heart, lay my pains, lay my sufferings, and then take on His love and His peace and His guidance for me for the day. Above all, I just sit at His feet and just listen. And I pour out my heart to Him. And I just sense how He gently wipes my tears and refills me, re-strengthens me. So that's the second part of my day, segment of my day. And the third part that I want to talk to you about, sorry, it's the second part, I'll just finish up a couple of things on that one. It's about surrender and stewardship. At the altar is a surrender and stewardship. So the surrender part is what I just lay myself down. Stewardship part is I pick up what God wants me to do. It's His will for the day, His plan for me, what He wants me to do that day. Most of the times we know the Bible, what it talks about, what we are called to do. But I remember once Pastor Christine at the women's retreat, she was talking about different ways that how we can understand or God's will. And one of the ways is to constant reminder of what He has called us to do. So I have this thing on my mirror that says, go make disciples, from Matthew 28. So that's a constant reminder, and I think every relationship we build, every person we see through the day, it's not coincidence. God has anointed and brought that person for a reason to you. And that's what I believe. So when I connect those two and say, be a good steward of every relationship, every encounter that I'm going to bring to you today. So I really hold that very dearly, and I apply that. I try to apply that to the best I can. Even if it is someone like I see an accident, the road is closed, you know, I just pray. I just want to make sure that my instinct says, oh, road is blocked. It's going to be late. I'm going to be late for work. That is our natural instinct, but I'm really trying hard to see the other side of that incident. So being a good steward of resources is another one. And the other one I really like God has teaching me in the past year or so is being a good steward of your testimony. God has given stories for you, His encounters with us. How are you being a good steward of that encounter with God? Right? So that He has challenged me last year, and I really tried to apply that at my workplace. And I was reminded about, I think I'm recording, yes, I'm recording, okay. Casting your net. So I find that I spend a lot of time at work. And that's the harvest field for me. That's the field that I'm at. That's where I plant. And that's where the harvest happens most of the time. And that's where I believe that my testimony is to be seeded and planted. And last year, I took that as a challenge, and I started to specifically dedicate the whole year last year praying for souls. And I was on my knees asking God to give more people. I wanted to pray for them. And I started to write the names of the people. Sometimes I don't even know the names of the people, the name of the person. Even if someone on the street, I just drop $5 or $2 for someone, I pray for them. They went into my journal. I couldn't believe within a couple of months how many pages of names, it just boggled my mind. At the end of the year when I looked at it, so many names that I have gone through. So I believe that being a stewardship of your testimony is important. Very, very important. That is sowing the seed for the souls. So I just was very encouraged, and that itself had become a testimony for other people that I was able to share. And it was interesting to see how other people started their journey with me as well. So we were able to relate and pray together as well. So I continue to ask God to add more people. So it's another page I keep turning. So every time I finish one whole page of names, it just makes me happy that God is listening and we are being, my testimony is not wasted. Third part is at the well. It's the third segment of my journey. I just want to share a little bit of a story about the well. Most of you probably did not grow up in a house where you had a well, where you have to fetch the water, but I had that privilege in a way. So when I was young, it's very typical in Asian countries. They don't allow children to go to the well because they say there's a bad omen, so you are not allowed to go to the well. It's just a precaution, so that you don't fall into the well. So I was very afraid of going to the well. But I would always, I was fascinated. I would just stand back and watch my brothers and sisters and servant maids. They draw water from the well. I would say about I was 8 to 10, somehow in that range. And I was very fascinated how they would drop the bucket and out comes the water. But I could never see because I was short. And so one day I was just curious. I wanted to try. Didn't have a concept of pulley, how pulleys worked, right? So here is the pulley. One end of the rope is a bucket, and the other end you have to hold and just pull the bucket. So when I thought nobody was watching, so I went. I just tipped the bucket into the well, holding the other end of the rope. So I just went, dragged and dragged and dragged, and just pulled and pulled and pulled. I was just now far away from the well. So now I'm trying to reach for the bucket, so I go closer, but I couldn't reach. So I was just going back and forth and back and forth. Didn't understand the concept of pulley at that time. So it was just hilarious, and then I think either someone came and helped me. But it's just that funny part that I still remember. It was scary. That was fascination at the time. But then when I became 14, 15, I was not fascinated at the well at all because it became my chore that I had to draw water and fill the barrels. So it was just an interesting side story there. So John 4 talks about the story of a Samaritan woman. That's one of my favorite stories, and I know that a lot of women have that as a favorite story, and I had a nice encounter with God as well. Now, one particular part that I really like about that story is the encounter the woman, Samaritan woman, had with God. There are two things God talks about during the conversation with her. It's about the gift and about who God is. So he says gift that is a living water that he talks about, the Holy Spirit, in reference to that, and who God is, that she would discover who God is, not Jacob and or Abraham and so on. He's beyond that. I trust that today, if you take the concept of well in those days to the water fountains at workplace. Water fountains, oh, yeah, at workplaces, yes, and or in the kitchen sink at our workplaces where you go get water. That's exactly kind of the scenario that I relate to. At the well is where the discussions, conversations, and the discovery takes place. And today, the same thing happens at our workplaces. That's where the conversations and the discussions and gossips and the discovery all take place. So I thought, how could I make this more applicable to what I hear and live for? And I started to make this a point for myself this year that every time I go to fill water from the water fountain or the kitchen, I wanted to take time. I just don't want to go get water and leave. I want to have an encounter with someone that I can talk to as well. So it's been working out amazingly, and I learned through that kind of discussions about people, their interests, and how I can relate to them through some of their interests. I just want to give you some examples of how I kind of took that opportunity to share my testimony and talk about God. Typically, I find Mondays and Fridays are easier to engage people at the water fountain, because I find Fridays you can talk to, hey, what's your plan for the weekend? And then the conversation begins. Mondays, what did you do over the weekend? And over the weekend, I always find it gives me a lot more leverage because I heard the Word of God. So I glean something from the Word of God and start the conversation. And Mondays, usually people say, how was your weekend? Good. So how was it good for you, right? So you engage, because so far I would say the word good has been the greatest open door for me to talk about. It has happened often, very often, because when they talk about how was it good, then we say, what's really good for you, right? How do you define good? So good is very subjective. And that has led to many long conversations with people, and I was able to talk about God. What is good to me versus what is good to them. So that's one of the words that I found was easy. The second one is love. Well, I'll just give you an example of, I was just taking a cab for my work one day. I was just talking about the news. It's easier to talk about the news to strangers and how you can really connect the love of God into it. The driver was so crowded downtown. It took about 20 minutes just to cross that Elgin Street. And we were just talking about it and that incident that happened a few weeks ago, a shooting downtown. So we started talking about it. And then I asked him, so why do you think these things happen nowadays? In the city, more and more, it's becoming very prevalent, shooting and hatred and stuff. And he said, people don't love each other anymore. So that really gave me a good conversation about what is love. So it was very interesting. Nobody really takes back, like they participate in that conversation when it is about love and good. These are something that I have, from my personal experience, I found. So we just started talking about, and everything boils down to loving neighbors. We don't love each other. And I would say, you know, loving neighbors is something we are supposed to do, whether we like it or not. And then I asked, if somebody steals, your son steals money from you and commits a crime, would you love him? And he said, yes, I would. That's nice. It's easy to love someone you really love, right? Like, you know, it's your family. But the guy who shot someone the other day, if he comes and tells you he would like to live in your house, would you love him? Would you allow him? Yeah, that's hard. So love is easier to love when you can love someone, and it's hard. So the conversation just went on like that, and I find it, and then at the end, the conversation was, are you a Christian? Is that's what he asked. I said, yes. I believe in Christ and his word. So the conversation went on. And other thing that I want to talk to you about is another easier way are the sticky notes. The first time that's after Joanne talked about identity, I wanted to try it. That was the very first time at my workplace I got the courage and boldness to do it. I put a sticky note in my monitor, identify yourself. So when people came to my desk, they always questioned, what is that? Why do you say identify yourself? You don't know who you are? And I would say, I just discovered who I am in Christ, right? So I would start talking about, and then I would share some of the points that you shared, and it gave me a way. And that was the opening for me, very first time I ever boldly started speaking about Christ, not preaching or teaching, but in subtle ways just made that door open for me. Thank you, Joanne. And other ways that I try, I'm just sharing the ways that I kind of share my testimony with others, and writing on the board. Writing on the board, I have a whiteboard at work, and Pastor John talked about reacting versus responding. And I thought that really meant a lot, to me, and I thought I can apply at workplace. What is reacting and what is responding? What is the difference between those things? And I was really happy that I was able to do this exercise as a team at workplace, and I went and wrote it on my boss's office as well, on his whiteboard, and then he came and talked to me, what is it about? So I said, this is something we are doing together as a team. So we took a journey together as a team at our workplace. When we had clients, it was very difficult clients to work with, our tendencies to react. But how different would it become if we responded before we reacted? So we took that little steps and we actually convened together at the end of the week, every Friday, how we did between reacting and responding. Did that make a difference in the way we supported our clients? And there was a big difference. And we started, and we corrected each other. And someone, it was funny, came back to me, and one of my team leads, she came back to me, I think we are reacting here. We should be stepping back and let's respond slowly, think it through. So I thought, thank you, God. It's not just me, and someone at my workplace is also observing and helping me to grow. So those are another subtle ways that I write stuff on the whiteboard, something I learned from Pastor John and Pastor Christine teaching at our church, and I apply them at my work. And words of encouragement. So I go through the contact list. One day I was trying to clean up the contact list I had. I was like looking at so many contacts I had, so many people that I have encountered and all their contacts. And I thought, I could make a good use of this list, even though it's frustrating and tiring to go through all of these to clean up. I'm going to make use of this. And then I started to pull out all these names and would send an encouraging word for them. So I'm sure we all have at least 300 people in our contact list. Can you imagine that if we took time, even one every 2 days, once a week, you know, you could go through your contact list and reconnect with some of those who have you have not connected. And I have reconnected with some of those through those contact lists, through sending a word of prayer or encouragement, and it has now rebuilt the connection. Now I can connect with them and talk about God, and I'm getting prayer requests from them. So it is another way that I'm trying to connect with people through the contact list I have. Another way that I'm trying to share my testimony to people is the social media. How many times you go click like, right? So now whenever I try to click like, I just pause for a second, and I think of the light of God. When I click on like about some photos or families that say they put stuff on the social media, I pray, take a second and pray that the light of God will shine on their face and destroy any darkness and deception. And bless them, Lord. That's a simple prayer before you click on a like. It's just a habit that I'm trying to develop. So another way that just praying out for their souls. I have quite a lot of examples. I won't go through them all. I think I've gone through most of the examples. My boss once asked, we were putting a presentation together, and I was very impressed with his presentation, how he had done it. So I went back, that was a Friday, and on the weekend, I just couldn't get it out of my mind. It's a one-of-a-kind of presentation that I've never, ever seen. It was very well done, and it was big learning. I thought my presentations were good, but that surpassed everything for me. And he said, do you want to see? So I went and sat down with him. He went through the presentation with me, and I liked the title he had, Breakthrough or Breakdown. So it is a choice we have to make. It's about technology upgrade. That was a simple thing. That was the deck was on a technology upgrade. Whether we have to invest or not. Let it break down or do we want to have a breakthrough? That's all it was. But it made a big difference for me. And so I reflected upon it, the style of presentation he had and just the title. And then that weekend when I went and sat down and sent him an email, I told him that, I really liked your presentation, especially the title was very catchy that I was able to relate it to what God teaches me through his word. So, and I was able to explain to him, this is what it meant to me, and then the conversation began. And it was on the book of Jericho wall breaking down, and they had a breakthrough, right? So I was able to relate to that. And then he had a conversation with me about that. Tell me where in the Bible it talks about. What else did you learn from this, from the Bible? So I started to have that conversation with him, and now he's talking to me, what is good to you? What does good mean to you? What does the Bible say about good to you? So just a little bit of go back, appreciate, encourage, find opportunities. So that's what I'm looking for at my workplace. Wherever there's an opportunity, I would try to share my testimony with the Lord about God. Okay. The third part of the segment is at the shadow of his wings. No, that was the third, sorry. At the well was third. So the fourth one is at the shadow of his wings. This is my end of the day, when I get to bed. I'm so in love with the story of Ruth. I always enjoy reading that book over and over. I've read so many times. And I really like this part that Boaz tells Ruth, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge or rest. In Hebrew, I think it means a shade under a tree. That's where you come down to. So at the end of the day, when I lie down, that's how I feel, that I'm just covered by the under his wings. I'm lying down under the wings, under the shadow of his wings. It's a resting place for me. I look through and reflect. It's a time of reflection for me. I thank God for all the things that has happened through the day. And I see his pen writing and come to the end of the page. And I know that he's going to open the next page tomorrow. I'm so excited at the end of the day to reflect upon the good and the bad and what I learned, the mistakes I've made. I just share with God. It's my communion with God. It's like just having a cup of tea with him at the end of the day. So that's some of the things that mechanisms, the tools, and the ways that I share my testimony and my walk with the Lord. Just to close out, that this is my 54th chapter, just a sneak peek of my 54th chapter from my perspective that I shared with you. But I know God has more to that book that I will know one day that I can learn. And one last thing that I want to tell to you about is, there's one thing that I am lately that has impressed my heart, that I'm trying to connect with God through. That is, I read this somewhere, when prayer becomes a habit, miracles become your lifestyle. And I think that there was so much depth to that, and that is right, and I am trying to really enrich my prayer life with God, and I'm believing and trusting that God will help me, and we will continue to have a sweet fellowship with one another. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.